Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
Again, I want to welcome all of you here this morning. Appreciate each one of you being here. And a welcome to those who are worshiping with us online. A couple of things I need to tell you about before we begin our lesson this morning. This is Jimmy's last Sunday with us for a while, because he's leaving Saturday to go off to school over in Harrisonburg. And so we wish him the best in that, and God's blessing to go with you. Also, just a note on Judy Taylor. Back at the end of last year, I think it was, the first part of this year, Judy had her heart procedure. They put her on a medicine that would help slow her heart rate down because they put the device in that would help, you know, increase her heart rate. So that medicine was supposed to kind of equal that out. The problem is she was only supposed to be on that medicine for about 2 months. And she's been over the last several weeks at least having her heart rate really, really low. And she went to the doctor, and they realized that they had not taken her off of that medicine yet. And so she's been having a really difficult time. Her heart rate has been really low. Breathing, everything has just been really difficult. So they took her off of that medicine. Her heart rate is increasing gradually, so that's getting better, but it's just going to take a while for all of that to get out of her system so that her heart rate will get back to where it really needs to be. So just wanted to let you know about that and just ask you to please continue to keep Judy in your prayers for her to be able to get stronger over time. So those two things I wanted to let you know about. We're talking about last things. Okay. Before these are the last things that I get to share with you before we leave. Before we get into our lesson, though, let me tell you about a couple of things. Just to clarify, because some people were confused, next Sunday, our fourth Sunday fellowship is our annual homemade ice cream competition. All right. So keep that in mind. It's our end of the summer get together. And also, because it's our competition, we get to see who's going to take home the Golden Scoop Award. Now, I presently hold the Golden Scoop Award, but I'm not going to take it with me. So we need to get some homemade ice cream in here, some really good stuff. Somebody needs to win that Golden Scoop Award and hold it for another year. If you don't make homemade ice cream, you know, what have you, just bring whatever desserts you want to have with it. Keep in mind that we also have invited the Petersburg congregation to join us for that fellowship. Okay? So we have that plan. Also, on September the 4th, we changed the date of this. It was supposed to be the 11th, but we moved it up a week. September the 4th, after our morning services, we're going to be having a fellowship meal. And again, we've invited the Petersburg congregation to join us for that meal. We're talking with them, trying to get with them to see if maybe they're interested in merging the two congregations together. And so these fellowships are just to get us together to get talking a little bit. So keep that in mind, and prepare for both of those events accordingly. Remember, this afternoon at 5 o'clock, Brian's going to be showing the movie Play the Flute, all right? So, one last announcement. The Cawson Street congregation has invited everyone, all the area congregations, to their annual Labor Day community barbecue. That is on September the 3rd. There at the park that's right across the street from the church building there in Hopewell. So keep that in mind. We don't have to let them know how many people. They say just show up. And it is from 11 o'clock in the morning until everybody's gone. So you are invited to that, and come out and enjoy the fellowship with the folks over at Cawson Street. All right? Okay. One other thing to share with you. If you want to write down our address, this will be our new address in Spartanburg. 115 Delray Drive, Spartanburg, South Carolina. And this is a picture of our new home. Our journey last week down there to try to find a house was successful. We have a great realtor down there, a lady. Her name is Amy. She's a member of the church down there. Really helped us out a great deal. She showed us a lot of houses, and we settled on this one. It's a really nice house, and we're really looking forward to that. So the address, 115 Delray Drive, Spartanburg, South Carolina. It's actually located in the city limits of Spartanburg itself. And it's about, and people have been asking me, it's about halfway between Kyle and Maddie and Katie and Matt. So one goes this way, the other goes that way. We're about right in the middle between the two of them. So that will be nice and convenient. Yes, sir. On the what now? Well, we don't have a basement. You have to sleep in the crawl space. I was going to say, though, that we do have a guest room. So, you know, and our door will be open if you would like to come.
You don't know what
the future holds,
man. Do I? You don't know what the future holds.
Oh, that's right. but absolutely, we would love to have anybody who would like to come and see what Spartanburg, South Carolina is like. We'd love to have you come and visit with us. But that's our new address. Our phone numbers are going to stay the same, so you have those, all right? Okay, we began this this series of lessons, Last Things, 2 weeks ago, and I told you then I have six opportunities to speak to you. We are now down to five, okay? Five more opportunities, including today. A reminder of our schedule, we've had a little bit of change in that. We're closing on our house. I think it's actually going to be the 24th. We've moved that a little bit. But the last time that I will be speaking here with y'all will be the 18th of September. And we'll be going to South Carolina, planning to do the closing on the house that weekend and to take some things down there. And we'll be back that Sunday. Brian is going to be speaking on the 25th. We will come back on that Sunday evening, finish doing whatever last-minute packing we need to do, and the 28th is when we're going to be loading the truck. And anybody that would like to help load the truck, we're going to do that Wednesday morning to try to get all of our furniture and everything loaded up. And then we'll be here. We're planning to be here that Wednesday evening. It'll be our last time with you all, and then we pull out of here Thursday morning. So that's what we have going on. Okay? So, six things. Six of what I consider to be the most important things that I can say to you. These are things that you've heard me talk about before. They're not anything new. The lesson that we have this morning is really a very simple lesson, but it's a very important lesson. These are the things that I want more than anything to impress upon you the most in the time that I have, the opportunities I have left to do that. So that's why I'm calling it Last Things. These are the most important things. One of the things that, and the reasons why I'm doing this, and please don't misunderstand me, but one of the things that you notice about Jesus when he was with his disciples, as his time got shorter, the things that he had to share with them were really, really important things. Not that everything else wasn't important, but he really shared some vitally important things with his disciples just before he died. And so it's kind of in that spirit of that these are the last opportunities I have, and I really want to impress these things upon you. Because we have preparations to be made. Okay? The day of the Lord is coming. All right? It is going to come. We don't know when it's going to come. But the bottom line of all of these lessons that I'm sharing with you is that I want to see every one of you one day again in heaven, if not before. Okay? So these things that I'm sharing with you have everything to do with making sure that you are prepared to be in heaven. All right? So, this morning we're going to talk about a very simple parable, one that I've preached about before, and you've probably heard lessons about it, you know, over and over again. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. But it's a very simple story, But there are some really key important things that I want to impress upon you from this story this morning. One of the things that as we look at this parable, we get to realize, you know, Jesus oftentimes, as he told parables, as he told and he was teaching the people, he oftentimes made those parables something that showed what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he started many of them with these words. The kingdom of heaven is like. And then he went on to tell whatever that parable was to teach a specific principle or concept. So, for instance, he taught the parable of the wedding banquet, and he said the kingdom of heaven is like a king who put on a wedding banquet for his son. And he goes on to tell that story. He told the parable of the workers in the vineyard, and he said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who owned a vineyard, and he went out and hired workers for the day. Therefore, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And that's the story of the unmerciful servant. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And this is the parable of the weeds. Again, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. He went on in that same time to talk about the kingdom of heaven being like a pearl of great price, a man who was searching for pearls. The kingdom of heaven, he said, is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. So Jesus, in telling all these parables, is teaching a lesson, preparing us to understand primarily about what the kingdom of heaven is like. And in Matthew chapter 24, he focuses a lot of attention on the end of the age, the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord, and really trying to prepare his disciples for that event that's going to take place, and pointing out some things that they need to be looking for, that these are the things that will show you that day is upon you. Then in Matthew chapter 25 is where he gives this parable of the 10 virgins. Okay? At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, the bridegroom here represents Jesus coming back. Okay? At the end of the age, the second coming of Jesus. All right? The virgins represent us. Okay? So the bridegroom is coming. All right? In this parable, he mentions two groups of the virgins, those who are wise and those who are foolish. He says five of those virgins were foolish and five were wise. Well, what was the difference between the foolish ones and the wise ones? He says that the foolish ones took their lamps, but they did not take any oil with them. No extra oil for their lamps. The wise took oil in their containers with their lamps. So it's obvious he's referring to extra oil. Not just what they had in their lamps, but some extra. Now if you think about it, okay, what made these two different, the wise and the foolish? Well, the foolish assumed that the bridegroom was going to come, think about it, in their time frame. Are you following me? He's going to come sometime tonight, so we have enough oil in our lamps. Okay? Where the wise, they realize we don't know when he's coming. So we need to be prepared just in case. In fact, that's what happens. Because Jesus goes on to say, the bridegroom was a long time in coming. Okay? In other words, did not come in the time frame that they expected him to come. Right? And they all became drowsy and fell asleep. You think about it, isn't that really what Satan tries to do with us? To get us to just kind of, I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm tired from this, and we just get drowsy, become complacent. Okay? The longer we wait, the easier it is to kind of start thinking like Peter talks about. Where is this coming he's been talking about? Is he really coming back? You see, you begin to question and wonder. But I'm here to tell you this morning, he is coming back. He's promised that. And God always keeps his promises. You see? So we need to learn that particular lesson in here. He's going to come back in his time frame, not in ours. So the key here is to prepare for a long wait. All right? At midnight, the cry rang out. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. So the time finally comes. Okay? He's coming back. And the cry goes out. He's here. And then there's a realization. Okay? And this is a really important part of this parable that I want you to understand. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." So you see, the preparations that they had made to only fill their lamps with oil and not have any extra, anticipating that he's going to come in their time frame, now all of a sudden they don't have enough oil. Their lamps are going out. And what they do is they turn to the others and want them to help them out. Notice the response. "No," they reply, that is the wise virgin, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." Now, you know, we may look at that and go, well, you know, that was pretty selfish of them, wasn't it? They could have shared a little bit of oil with them. But that's not the point of this parable. What is the point? First of all, it's two things. You can't make up for the unpreparedness of other people. Okay? You understand that? You cannot make up for someone else not being prepared when the Lord comes back again. But here's the second thing you need to understand. Nor can anyone make up for yours. It just will not work that way. No one can make up for someone else's unpreparedness. We need, as God's children, to be trying to prepare as many people as we can. And as I've talked about in the ministry that we're trying to do as we go to South Carolina, is trying to do exactly that. Prepare as many people as we can for the coming of the Lord. But realizing that all we can do is encourage people to do that. We cannot make them get prepared. Okay? And if they don't do what they need to do to be prepared, nobody can bail them out. And that's really what these five were doing. They're wanting the others to bail them out of their unpreparedness. It simply will not work. You can't do it for anyone else, nor can anyone do it for you. So my urge is for you to make sure that you are prepared. Help prepare as many as you can, but please make sure you are prepared. Because as I told you, I want to see you in heaven. Okay? So you need to prepare yourself. This whole idea of waiting till the last minute, you know, we can do that with a lot of things in life, but this is not one of them. A lot of people today live with this kind of a concept. It's never too late, and they like to kind of throw that out there. It's never too late to do this. It's never too late to do that. But that does not apply to this situation. Okay? If your thinking is, well, I've got plenty of time, and you know, I can do this, or I can, no. We don't know when the bridegroom is coming back. And when he comes, it's too late to start preparing then. You see? So that's one of those situations where it's never too late does not apply. Everybody following me there? Okay. The reason that it can be too late is because of this statement right here. The door was shut. Okay? While they, that is the five foolish virgins, went to buy their oil, the bridegroom came. And notice this. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Okay? So who got to go in? Only those who were ready. And the most important thing about this is that once they went in, those who were ready, the door was shut. In other words, no one else gets to go in. See? There's no, you know, wait a minute. I'm almost ready. No. The door was shut. Look at what the text says here. Verse 11, right there in the middle. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Okay? So they weren't prepared. They had to go and get prepared. But by the time they came back, the door's already shut. And now what they're doing is they're asking the Lord to open the door for them. And look at what his response is. And to me, this is the most frightful thing that anybody can ever hear in the judgment. He answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Okay? I do not know you. And then he gives that warning. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This isn't a matter of playing with guessing games and trying to almost be ready and then at the last minute, no. This is, we've got to be prepared now. We've got to be prepared now. Because there won't be an opportunity to get prepared later. Okay? This is kind of like, we hear about it some here, but not as much as if you live right on the coast or what have you. Hurricane preparedness. Okay? You know, they put out these notices and there's lists and, you know, here's the things you need to get ready in case, you know, a hurricane comes. The time to do that preparation is before the hurricane comes. Okay? Because if you wait until it comes, it's too late. All right? It's way too late. So it's prepare beforehand. Do it now. I tell you this. All of us have a list of things to do, important things to do, don't we? But I want you to hear me. There is nothing more important for you to do than to prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. Nothing. Okay? Nothing. Not a thing that is more important than that. I hope that you really hear me when I say that. Because as I said, I want to see you in heaven with me. Okay? You see, we heard that same sentiment that Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, that Jesus talks about those who say they belong to Him, church people. Okay? They're doing all kinds of good things in His name, and that's what church people tend to do. But notice what He says. Then I will plainly tell them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So my point here is, it is not enough to just go to church. It's not enough to even do a lot of good things in the name of the Lord. We have got to be doing what He says to do, not what we want to do, in preparing ourselves for His return. Lest we hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. 10 virgins in this story. 5 are wise and 5 are foolish. Which one are you? Which one are you? That's the challenge that I'm giving you this morning to decide, to look. Which one are you? Okay? Keep your lamp filled with oil. Okay? In other words, make all the preparations you need to beforehand. Keep that lamp filled with oil because He is coming back. All right? Wesley has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. We extend that invitation to anyone. For those of you who may have a prayer request or a need that you would like for us to address, it's a great opportunity to let us know that. For anyone who is not yet a Christian, including those of you who are worshiping with us online, that if you are at a point where you're ready to make that commitment to give your life to Christ, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now, today. For those of you online, we can make that happen as soon as is impossible with you. All you got to do is contact us and let us know, and we'll make it happen. But it's an opportunity for anyone to let us know how we can serve you in whatever way that we can. Wesley, come on up. Let's stand together and sing.